Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. On today's episode, a mother is home alone with the kids when she finds that something dark has arrived. A young girl believes that it is not her friendly family ghost that's messing with her cats. Could the apparition that appears nightly in a girl's room actually be a residual haunting? A listener shares how things changed at home once a bunk bed was purchased. Those stories and more today. I gotta ring the bell on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hello.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing lovely. Still trying to mess with my computer to get the sound working.
I know. And that's just a burr in your butt.
It's amazing to me all the stuff that can be done with computers now. It just blows my mind. But the simplest of tasks that used to be just, you know, what basic things.
Yeah.
Plug the audio jack into the computer to get the sound from this one to that one through a mixing board. So I'm doing it correctly. And it shorted out this one over here when I did that.
The desktop.
And then it started making really weird noises on the other one when I did that. And it's just an audio jack. There's nothing special about it. It's just a three and a half millimeter cable. Why?
I don't know.
It's like things have gotten so advanced, just the basic things just do not function anymore. Anyway, how are you? 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump into our first story today. Amelia writes in, hello. I've just recently found your podcast and I love it. Listening to other people sharing their odd encounters has prompted me to do the same. I never talk about things that happen or see things or things I see because I think, who's going to believe me? Or do you know how you sound? But I'm not new to strange occurrences or unexplained happenings. I have experienced many unusual things since I was a small child, a lot of which are dark and unpleasant. I'm writing to you about one particular occurrence that happened to me one evening while I was sitting in bed watching television. I'd say it'd have to be around 9:30 at night. My children had already been asleep for a couple of hours, and my husband was away for a week on business. This was a pretty usual routine. My husband would leave for periods of time, so I was used to being alone with the kids. The house wasn't super busy regarding the supernatural. Every now and then, I'd see a little girl around 10 stand by my bedroom door looking at me, partially obstructed by the door frame. She was only ever in my peripheral vision, and if I looked at her directly, she wouldn't be there. But as soon as I would look away, I could see her again. However, she's not the interesting story I'm writing to you about. I was sitting in my bed watching my favorite evening television show, unwinding after the long day and enjoying the quiet time by myself. I'm what I like to call a fan sleeper. I always have a fan running, I like to have the air circulating when I sleep, or my room just feels stuffy. So here I am in bed when I smell this pungent sulfuric smell, and all of a sudden things feel really creepy, like the air became heavy. I get out of bed and walk over to my fan to turn it off when I notice that I can't smell the odor anymore. It was completely gone. So I turn around and walk back to bed when suddenly I smell it again. Having had many experiences in the past, like I had mentioned, I began to walk the perimeter of my king-size bed searching out the smell, which at that time I discovered four distinctive locations of this intrusive odor, completely isolated to themselves. Now, as the fan sleeper that I am, I think that if there's an intrusive smell, the rest of the room would smell like it due to the fan circulating the air. This was not the case, however. All four of these locations were placed directly around my bed. One immediately to my left, one to my right, and two at the front of my bed. It was through the smells, or whatever invisible entities that was circulating the smell, were circulating my bed. I wasn't particularly thrilled since the smell was very nasty, so I could only assume that whatever entities they were not of the friendly sort. I became upset because I felt like they were caging me to my bed, so I rebuked them and told them to get out. Immediately after, the smells vanished and the lightness returned to the room. It was boggling that these smells were completely isolated to only these four areas and nowhere else, and how it felt like the room was covered in a heavy, wet blanket. Why were they there, and what did they want? I don't know, but whatever this was the only instance I've ever experienced that had such a putrid smell during the occurrence. I remember as a small child, I used to be terrified all the time and would never sleep in the dark. Now at 30 years old, I'm a little less scared, but I still sleep with a nightlight. I have had many peculiar instances that I hope to write in later to share with you. I really enjoy your podcast, and I hope you choose my story because I'd really like to hear your input on it. I love your show. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much.
I think that she got off lucky with it only showing up that one time, or they only showing up that one time. Because sulfur smells don't accompany happy things.
Yeah, it's pretty rare that you have a sulfuric smell and it's just like Uncle Bill. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh yeah, he's back. He always smelled like, I mean, unless that was his smell.
Right.
Unless it was, you know, I don't know. I guess if you worked, maybe he was a plumber or something.
I don't know about that.
It's like, that's him. There he is.
I think maybe I could see kids hiding Easter eggs that rotted.
Sure.
That would be a sulfur smell.
Yeah. That could, it just that putrid, bleh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, usually when that's the case, it doesn't lead to much good. I am glad that it did seem to end there, though. Mm-hmm. Do you ever smell anything in your dreams? Can you smell in your dreams?
I don't think I can smell in my dreams.
I can't taste in my dreams.
I don't remember trying to ever eat anything in my dreams.
I always try to eat in my dreams. And it's always so disappointing because I'll be like at like a great restaurant and the food looks wonderful. Then I'll taste it and it's just nothing. It's like you have a cold almost. Mm-hmm. It's just that's one of those signs where it's like, yep, you're dreaming. Then you can do anything you want. You start throwing the food around the restaurant and it's great fun. It really is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Nicole writes in, hey guys, I became a recent listener over the past few months and have been working my way through your 2015 podcast and having a spooktastic time doing so, currently in October. So a little side note, my mom has always raised my brother, sister, and I to be open-minded about the supernatural. I guess she'd be considered sensitive, and so would my brother. We've all had our experiences at one time or another, but this one kind of sticks with me. When I was about 14, my brother 16, sister 8, we moved into my mom's new boyfriend's apartment. Not a couple months went by before my brother started mentioning a woman, probably in her 30s, that he called M. She seemed to like electricity. She turned the lights on or off, turned the computer on even after we've unplugged it, turned the TV on or off, etc. She just wanted us to know she was there, and usually, once we said, all right, Em, I get it, things would settle. Funny enough, she was kind of part of the family. Things started turning a bit nasty when we started getting ready to move, but I don't think it was Em. My sister started to refuse sleeping on her own, even though we shared a room. Most nights, Mom would sleep with her. I remember one night, waking up and just seeing this impossible black at the end of her bed. Everything else in the room was illuminated by the moon through the window, so I could see everything pretty clearly. However, I couldn't see past this black mass. For some reason, a mischievous little boy with a bowl cut and overalls popped into my head after that. I don't know whether it was just my imagination or not, but it was pretty vivid. Fast forward about 1 week from moving and I was home alone because I was sick. I was reading a book cuddled up in bed with my stuffies and I heard what sounded like my toilet exploding. I go to investigate and it just keeps running like it had just been flushed. I turn to leave when I notice that my motion sensor, hand soap dispensers say that three times fast, constantly were dispensing soap. Freaked out, I looked out the bottle of the soap, or took out the bottle of soap, I went back to my room where I filled all my stuffies on the ground. Thoroughly spooked, I said, okay, Em, I get it, and went back to reading. And 5 minutes later, I hear my cupboards opening and closing. I ignore getting pretty scared at this point. I didn't want to leave my room. Then I hear my cats freak out, so I force myself to go take a look. I come out of my room and I pass the bathroom and I see that the soap is back in the dispenser and dispensing away. This time I took the soap and kept it with me to prevent any more mess. I continue to the living room, and to my surprise, my cat was stuck behind a bookshelf. The shelf was 7 feet tall, 2 feet wide, came about 2 inches off the ground, and kitty-cornered to the wall. There was no way for my cat to get under, over, or around it. I had to physically move the shelf away from the wall to get her out. At that moment, I remember getting so mad and just yelling, "You can fuck with me, but you leave my cats alone." as loud as I could. Following that was a swift door slam, and I decided that it probably was an M and swiftly hightailed it out of there to wait for my mom. Sorry for this being so long, such a long story. Just didn't want to leave things out. Really like to hear your opinions on my story. I have other more specific stories to do with M if you'd like to hear them. Keep up the awesome work, guys. Say stay spooky.
I think she saw the mischievous little boy in her mind's eye, and that's probably what was messing with things. Because little boys would do that, mess with cats, play with soap. I could see that being a different spirit.
I can see that. Or someone who's allergic to cats as a ghost. Mm-hmm. Where they're like, I'm washing my hands thoroughly and get the cat away. And they barricade the cat behind the bookcase.
Yeah.
Still a fact. That would suck if you're haunting the house and you still have cat allergies. Mm-hmm. And like you didn't have a cat in life, but then the new people who end up owning the home, they have a cat and you're stuck there and you're still affected by the damn cat.
Yeah.
That would not be fun. I would do the same thing too. I mean, I love cats, but I think I'd be like, move the cat over here, please. Please, otherwise I can't breathe. I know I'm dead, but still, it happens. And see what goes down after that.
I bet you don't have allergies when you're dead.
I hope not.
Yeah.
I really hope not. 855-853-4802 is our number. Quinn writes in, hello, thank you for reading my story and all the stories you share on your show. You make me laugh and relax. My story takes place when I was 11 years old and living in Guildford, England. My family was living in a mock Tudor house that must have been built in the 50s or 60s. The house was large and well taken care of. As a child, I was very sensitive to the energy, not only of the people, but of buildings and locations. My mother very rightfully took us all to visit many of the historic sites, castles, and monuments that were all over the UK. But she'd always tell me not to be silly when I didn't want to go down into the dungeons and places where there had been a lot of people killed or tortured. Often would have to follow the rest of the family into these places, holding in tears and panic, trying not to feel residual suffering and anger. She's not at all sensitive and has apologized since I'm now older and more articulate. I still like to give her a hard time that she scarred me for life. The house we lived in felt full of memories, but not anything particularly negative. My sister and I shared the master ensuite bedroom, which is in the front of the house. My sister was 7 at the time and slept on the bottom of our bunk bed. I have ADD and have never found it easy to fall asleep, especially in that room. The room at night was very, very dark and had an almost heavy energy. I remember one night lying in bed looking at the crack of light showing from my parents' room as they got ready for bed. I dreaded the moment they would turn it off and I would be left listening to the quiet, settling noises of the house. The light did go off and I just lay there staring at the door. Must have finally drifted off to sleep, but I was woken by the strong feeling of something else awake in the room with me. I could hear my sister's breathing, but it wasn't her sleeping presence I could feel. I didn't want to open my eyes, afraid of what I would see, but I couldn't just keep them closed and not know what there was in the room with me. Finally, I couldn't stand not knowing anymore. So I opened my eyes and looked at the place. I could feel something standing. There was a lady. She was shadowy, but I could still see her in the dark. More than seeing the details, that she was wearing a bathrobe and was clasping and unclasping her hands in front of her. I could feel her worry and sadness. She was looking at something that I couldn't see, focusing all of her grief and worry to that one thing. She just stood there, filling the space around her with her anxiety and despair. I was too scared to do anything. I knew she shouldn't be there, but I didn't know what to do. I wanted to get out of my room, but I knew I didn't want to go towards her, and she was between me and the door. She stayed there for a while and then slowly turned to go out the door and disappeared. My heart was pounding, and I didn't sleep that night until it started to get light out. A few nights later, she came back. Almost exactly the same thing happened. Her sadness would wake me, and I'd watch her, not moving until she left. My sister always slept right through this, and I knew I couldn't tell anyone. My mother didn't take lying lightly, and I knew she would think I was crazy or making it up. This kept happening for weeks. It was always the same every few nights. I'd be woken by the lady. I brought a desk light into my room and would leave it on at night. When I did that, I couldn't see her anymore, but I could still feel her sadness and worry come into my room. My fear of her never went away. I thought of trying to talk to her, but when I would try, I couldn't even whisper. I was always too full of my own fear and the great sorrow she brought with her. I finally decided that I couldn't keep feeling this afraid all the time, so every night I'd face to the wall, and if I did wake up and feel her, I would just try to go back to sleep. Eventually, I either learned to sleep through it or she stopped coming because she never woke me up again. I would sometimes feel like I was walking into a worried room when I came into my room after it had been empty for a while, but I never saw her again. Thanks for listening to my story and for letting me hear so many other people's too.
I think it kind of sounds like a residual haunting, like this woman was coming in and checking on something or someone that she was really worried about. Like, you know, maybe since they shared the master bedroom, mm-hmm. you know, could have maybe been coming in and checking on husband, boyfriend, sure. somebody that she cared about. And she's just replaying this over and over. Because it sounds like she's looking at something that's not there. So mm-hmm. I feel like it's residual.
My question with it being a residual haunting, would you be able to pick up all those emotions out of it? You know what I mean?
I think so.
I always think of residual hauntings, and this is just me, mm-hmm. Not that it really means anything, other than I just think of it as just kind of this replaying thing, but not necessarily, I guess, having the, I don't know why I would think this, but having the emotions connected with it. But I suppose it could. I guess it's just, you know, you calculate things like, oh, it's that's just what it is.
I think more my definition of residual is whether or not it interacts with you. If it's not interacting, but mm-hmm. it's obviously doing its own thing on a repeat basis, whether mm-hmm. or not you can feel the energy, mm-hmm. I think that is more in the residual category. Like this, like it sounds like this woman just goes in and checks on somebody and she's really mm-hmm. worried about him and does this like every night, but doesn't really interact with, yeah. you know, the person telling the story.
Is it conscious? Because I don't put conscious entities and residual in the same.
I don't think so. I think it's just a repeat.
It's just the energy. It's not even like her spirit. It's just the energy repeating. Yeah.
And I think the stronger the energy of what's going on, the more likely to have a residual, because mm-hmm. that's kind of what sticks around.
Sure. You got a point. I always thought of it. I don't know. And like I said, I don't know why. It's uh-huh. just kind of how my mind placed it.
Sure.
But I never really like, oh, that makes sense. So okay. I opened a new door. Mandy writes in, hi guys. I just came across your show recently and I love it. I live in a house that's almost 100 years old. I do not know a lot about the home other than there has been over 15 families that have lived in the home before us. We've been here over 11 years now. Before I had children, occasionally I would have strange things happen, but I just try to ignore it. I've had radios connected to the TV, audio suddenly be playing music, lights flicker. I've gotten uncomfortable feelings before while going up the stairs, but it's hard to know what's a real feeling or just my imagination until my kids were born. My kids, 8 and 4, are fearful of the dark in our house. Although they've lived in the house all their life, they will not go in the room alone. My eldest has spoken of seeing women in my room, wearing bonnets and whispering. My youngest has never slept in her room a whole night. She talks of a mean rabbit that will stand in her doorway. She's very specific about it being a rabbit. I've tried to do some research but haven't found a thing on that. She also has spoken about a man that she spoke with one night that went into the walls. She says he said hi to her and then she snuck up on him and said boo, and then he flew into the walls. Besides strange things my kids have seen, my husband and I have had odd things happen. We've heard what sounds like someone walking down our creaky stairs when no one is there. We're watching one of those possession movies one night, which I'll never do again, and it got to a scary scene and suddenly the TV shut itself off and rebooted. The crazy part was it shut off just as the scene where the possessed was screaming something about being a demon. There's no way for the TV to turn off without a remote or pushing the off button. That was strange. We've heard shuffling sounds coming from the outside of the ceiling above us. I have a bulldog and occasionally he'll be on guard at night as if he has heard something and will be barking constantly all evening long. The last incident which made us both real nervous was about 2 months ago. My husband woke me up in the middle of the night asking if I heard a noise from downstairs. That's when I heard this electronic kid desk going off and talking on its own. All I can remember was it was about saying something about the number 33. The next morning, I checked the desk, and the only way it can be activated was if you switched it on. It was definitely the off switch. That was the end of that desk, and now it resides in the basement. I think my husband and I try to ignore the strange things that happen because we're fearful. For a while, I was turning off and removing any electronic toys from upstairs just so it would not happen again. On another note, we've been trying to sell our home for the last year. I was speaking to my husband a couple weeks ago, and I had this thought come into my head days before, a feeling that the house does not want us to leave. For some reason, I just get that weird feeling, and it feels the same way. Recently, I bought sage for the house. I think I'm going to try and see what happens. What do you guys think? Thanks again, and love your show, Mandy.
I don't know about the angry rabbit, what that actually is, but it sounds like most of these other things are just spirits, possibly people that have lived there before, and they might be comfortable with you. Since you've been there like 11 years, they might not want you to leave because it might be more risky for them if somebody new comes in and just sages them away.
Mm-hmm.
So I could kind of see that almost like impending sadness of like, oh crap, now we've got to deal with a new family.
Sure. I would get your electricity checked out though too.
Yeah, being that old of a home.
I think, you know, you there's probably a mix of things going on here. There probably is some paranormal things going on here, but I think you probably also have some weird EMF issues in the house with your electric. Because that can trigger toys. That can trigger your TV. TVs do that now. Mine resets itself all the time.
Sure.
And it's kind of one of those things where we sacrifice a not having to lug a 200 pound TV around for 5 pounds, but now they're digital and can do things like that. Mm-hmm. So I would look at that. And possibly even if there is weird EMF and badly grounded electricity in that house that's triggering the electronic toys, that can also mess with you, like mentally. The signals and all that can screw with people. I'm not saying that you don't have ghosts or that anything in the story was not paranormal, but like I said, there's probably a mixture of things going on here. And get an electrician in there, not just because it may settle down some of this stuff, but you'll probably save your house from burning down as well.
Yeah.
If the electricity is bad in those walls, I would just get some of that checked out because it's amazing what that can do. We had a toy that would be triggered by a certain switch being flipped in our house. A light switch, completely different part of the room. And all of a sudden, boom, this toy would go off by itself. Wasn't triggered. The mechanism to move it, to trigger it, not touched. But without, you know, every single time it happened. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when you can do it on command repeatedly, you know that that's what it is.
It's still weird and freaky.
But it is.
It does help a little bit to know, oh, this is every time I do this, this happens. Mm-hmm. So you can narrow it down.
Which is also an interesting thing because I think a lot of times you have instances like this where it's like, and I just left the room and all of a sudden I heard something happen. Did you happen to turn the light off when
or
you left
fan
the room?
Off
yeah. Or something. Something. Yeah. That seems to be kind of a trigger point. But when it happens, you don't think of that. Mm-hmm. So I have a look into that. Brooke writes in, hey there, my name's Brooke. I've had many otherworldly experiences in my lifetime. I'm very fortunate that I've not had many loved ones to pass away, but the ones that I have, I always have dreams about them, and they tend to give me messages to tell other family members. The first experiences was when my grandmother died. It did not happen immediately, took a couple of months, but she finally came to me. My mother was taking her death quite hard. She was on antidepressants and was just sad. With that being said, my dream started out with me and my mother going to the cemetery to visit my grandmother's grave. Apparently, this was the only day of the year where you could go visit deceased loved ones where they were alive and well and look normal and maybe even better when they passed. We approached my grandmother's grave and it looked like there was steps going down in her grave, like maybe to an underground crypt. My mother walked off somewhere. My grandmother comes up the stairs. She was wearing a blue velour jogging suit with red and white stripes down the arms and legs. She also had a white sweatband around her head. She was more heavy set now. When she passed, she was just skin and bones. She looked at me, smiled, and asked where my mother was. I told her that I did not know, and she walked somewhere over there, pointing to some graves further back. She said, well, I want you to tell your mother that I'm okay and I'm happy not to worry anymore. Tell her to stop being sad that I'll get better. She turned around, walked back down the stairs, and that was it. I woke up and called my mother immediately. I was not sure how she would take it and was kind of scared to tell her since it was so painful for her, but my mother started crying and was happy to hear from her, and she even started feeling less depressed and eventually got off the antidepressants. I dreamed of her another time where we were in the kitchen, not sure whose house we were at, but she told me to tell my Aunt Robin that she was proud of her, to keep up the good work. My aunt just got out of rehab from a serious drug addiction. And the last time I saw her, we were in someone's kitchen again, but she did not say anything, just sat there and smiled. Another family member that just recently passed in January was my cousin Allison. She died of a heroin overdose. I blame myself for not helping her, but I just could not have her in my home with her boyfriend that was also an addict. She stopped talking to me, and I often told my coworkers that I was expecting a call any day now where they would tell me she was found in a bathroom at a gas station. Sure enough, that's exactly how they found her. It crushed me since I was close to her, even lived with her and her on several occasions. Not too long after her funeral, I had a dream of her. I was walking up a slight hill, and there was a line of people standing in a narrow dirt path. It was her and my grandmother, and they're waiting, but not sure what they were waiting on. They were standing under this big, beautiful tree, and the weather was perfect. Not hot, not cold, just right. The breeze smelled sweet. Allison was wearing a white sundress with red flowers on it and her hair pulled back. She looked so beautiful. She stood in front of me and smiled with excitement to see me and said, "I miss you so much." We hugged, and that was it. I wanted to ask her questions or to have more of a conversation, but I guess that was not the purpose of the dream. It did make me feel good to see her with my grandmother. I did tell my Aunt Karen, her mother, about the dream, and it made her very happy that I got to see her again. I've had many otherworldly experiences in my life. There are many stories to tell about my ghost experiences. I'd love to share them with you another day.
I feel like these are more than just dreams, since she has some ability to kind of predict the future a little bit, like with her cousin. I think that she's kind of the messenger for the rest of the family.
And sure.
These messages go through her to everybody they're supposed to get to.
Mm-hmm. And she gets them, and they're very, very clear. I'm wondering, my question about the clothes in the dream, was the grandma wearing the same thing the second time, or did you get to change?
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, it's a stupid thing, but I wonder, because like sometimes it's like, oh, I always see the person and they're wearing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Are you stuck with one wardrobe? You like, you pick it and that's it. And she picked the jogging suit and that was it forever, or was she just out for a ghostly jog the one time? And I don't know.
That's got to be annoying to people who really enjoyed clothes.
Uh-huh.
I'm one of those people. I have my favorites. I probably have more things that I don't wear in my closet than I do, because I wear my favorites over and over. So you're probably going to see me as a ghost wearing one of my three favorite things, whereas people that like to change it up constantly, that probably gets really old, not being able to do that.
Or what if you're presented with your ghostly closet and your three favorite things aren't there? It's just the stuff you never picked. You're just like, you got to pick something here now.
Yeah, it'd be like the itchy tag sweater or whatever.
Is that if she got the jogging suit?
Maybe.
It's like, that's all you got? Really?
Who knows?
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Harrison writes in, "I've been listening to your podcast nonstop for the past week or two, and I keep hearing about these black figures people see with shining eyes, whether it be red or yellow or whatever color. When I heard about these, I remembered this thing I saw when I was younger that I had completely forgotten about, thinking that it was a dream or something. When I was younger, my family had just moved to the house my parents still live in now. It was the first time me and my brother had separate rooms, so we had to get a second bed for my brother, and I got to keep the bunk beds. I was used to sleeping on top, so I just stayed up there and used the bottom bunk for a futon. One morning, whether I had woken up or was just a really, really realistic dream, I opened my eyes and realized that it was light outside. So I looked towards my door, and it was open. This black figure with red glowing eyes was standing at my doorway. It looked like it was roughly 5 feet tall, and it was covered in these black spikes that laid flat against it. I couldn't help but just stare at it as it looked at me. It probably locked eyes for only a couple seconds before it ran full force at the bottom bunk and just jumped at it. I quickly covered up my head and with my blankets and forced myself back to sleep. When I woke up the second time, I quickly looked at the doorway, and the door was closed. I never said anything about it, thinking it was a dream. I never saw it again. Years later, when I moved into a different room in the house right across the hall, my dad had just told me good night, and I was drifting off to sleep. I was woken up by this hand grabbing my leg and just violently shaking me awake. I freaked out, flipped on my light, and screamed for my dad. He ran in and was asking me what happened. I told him what I'd felt, and he said I was just dreaming, but I remember feeling this hand on my leg. After that, I'd constantly hear what sounded like a woman whispering my name as if it were in my head. Fast forward to my senior year in high school, for no reason in particular, I began randomly waking up around 3 o'clock every morning. I woke up as if someone had kind of made a slight noise and my eyes were just slightly open. I found it strange because I never saw anything or heard anyone until the morning I decided to just stay up and go for a run before school. I decided I would just run to the local Walmart, not even a mile away, and take these back roads to it. On the back roads, there's a stretch of road that has no lights going down it. I started jogging down it, and I felt like someone was following me or watching me, and I booked it. I ran as fast as I possibly could until I could make it to the nearest streetlight. I felt instant relief. Could have just been my nerves, but it was just the strangest feeling. I finally made it back home, and I was exhausted. I decided to take a short nap before school, but every time I was drifting off, I would hear a cat meowing. Now, in a normal home, that would seem normal, but my dad is allergic to cats, so we had none, and my room is on the second floor. I continued to wake up until my stepmom, who was the only one who believed me, gave me a rosary that night. And for the rest of my life since then, I haven't had anything else happen to me. I know it's a long story, and if you want to edit some things out, feel free. I appreciate everything you two do, and I hope to hear about what this could have been, whether it was one thing or more than one. Hope to hear at least part of this on the podcast.
I think it's probably more than one.
Yeah.
It occurring inside and outside the home.
Mm-hmm.
But that cat thing almost sounds like the exploding head syndrome, but with a cat. You know?
Yeah.
That's nuts. I just think that would be so annoying, knowing you don't have a cat.
Mm-hmm. And then you just, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
Certainly creepy. Thank you for sharing that that experience. Megan writes in, "Hey, Tony and Jenny, I'm a huge fan. My name's Megan. I'm an EPP, and my friend Chrissy and I have been listening to your show for about 2 years now. I'm from Eureka Springs, Arkansas. I'm sure you've heard of it. I wanted to share my experiences with shadow people. My first memories in life is of one of these entities getting within inches of my face. I wasn't frightened at the time, just in awe of this creature in front of me. Its face had no features, just black smoke swirling within inches of my face. It was about this time my mother had noticed it and let out a scream that put the terror into me. The shadow darted through the door and outside. I think it was confused by me as I was by it. My second experience with another shadow person, most recently, and this one was different from the first, I was having a nightmare, and I'm certain this entity was the cause of the nightmare. It was like it was in my head, and I believe it was. When I came out of this intense, sick dream, I can't remember the details, but I do remember the sick feeling it gave me to my stomach. As I opened my eyes, I looked right at it, standing over my side of the bed, just staring. I'll say with confidence, it was a male at least 7 feet tall. I could see it clearly in the darkness because he was standing in front of the window. I was paralyzed with fear. I tried to scream, but I couldn't, but luckily made enough commotion to wake my friend, who consoled me, only to tell me it was a dream. While at the same time, I'm watching this figure slowly walk away, not ever looking away from me as it slowly disappeared into the shadows of the room. I believe these shadow people visit us often, especially when we're in depressed states or in having negative moods. These things feed off your fear, your anger, and love to come when you're sleeping and feed from your nightmares. Anyways, that's my experience with shadow people. I've got other ghost stories, but I'll save them for another day. Thank you so much for being amazing and having the show for people to vent their experiences. Keep up the amazing work, Megan."
I think she's on to something with, do they feed off the nightmares or do they cause the nightmares?
I could see both, mm-hmm. where it's kind of a cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, I totally agree with her statement where things kind of latch on when you're depressed, negative, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of becomes a cycle and it's hard to break out of it.
Yeah.
And it just like it's chicken before the egg, mm-hmm. at that point. So
just thinking of, you remember the book or the movie, The BFG, where the mm-hmm. thing came and took your dreams?
Sure.
It's almost like the bad version of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Thank you for writing that in and sharing that story with us. Let's go to our next letter. Hello, my name is Barry. I'm from Chicago, Illinois. I'm a new listener of your podcast. I've always found the paranormal to be fascinating, and I have a couple stories here for you tonight. Both these stories are from the same location, my grandmother's former house in Schaumburg, Illinois. I moved in with her shortly after high school, and there were always odd things happening in her home. For example, little things at night, like the sound of someone channeling or clanging pots and pans together in the kitchen, and no one being there. Also, the sound of bare feet walking up and down our hallway at night. I experienced these two occasions firsthand. After some background on my grandmother's home, it was brand new. It wasn't some old house with history, so I've always wondered where the spirit originated from. Anyway, on to my first experience. I lived in the house with my grandma, aunt, and her two kids. We put the kids to bed, and it was very late at night. At the time, we were making some improvements on the house, and we'd be working into the wee hours of the night until we got tired. We were scraping up linoleum tiles from the kitchen area and hallway to replace it with the interlocking wood floors. We were talking and joking around as we scraped a tile. I can't remember what my aunt exactly said, but it was something funny, and we started laughing. As we were laughing, we all heard a child laugh in the room with us, and we all went silent to listen, and we just stared at each other. We heard it for a couple beats after we had abruptly stopped to try and verify what we heard. We just sat there, sort of baffled in silence. The kids were sleeping upstairs as my aunt had gotten up off the floor to check just in case it was them. They were knocked out sleeping. My second story involves my aunt and her son. We'd been watching some kid movies one night, and it was time to put her son to sleep. My aunt took her sons upstairs, so I got to stretch my legs and have a smoke. Our living room had this sliding door to gain access to the porch, and I was standing in the doorway enjoying my smoke and looking up at the stars. Suddenly, I feel this tug on my pants like when a child is trying to get your attention, and I heard three words. I was zoned out. I didn't make out what was said. But I'd been sure my cousin had escaped my aunt and was trying to postpone his bedtime a little more. So I flicked my cigarette away and said, "Anthony, it's already past your bedtime." And I turned around, but no one was there. It mildly unnerved me because it wasn't what I was expecting. Many things happened in this house, but not once did I ever feel threatened or scared. We are certain the spirit is a child because it did childlike things. My grandmother sadly sold her house about 3 years ago after having it for almost 15 years. I can honestly say the spirit had become a part of the family. We'd gone as far as buying him presents to put under the Christmas tree during the holidays. Thank you very much. I hope to hear this on the podcast.
I'm betting since it never changed from doing childlike things to doing bad things that it may have been just a child spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But that is kind of sad. Makes you wonder how it handled when they sold the house and moved.
Is anyone else buying gifts?
Yeah.
That'd really kind of suck if you kind of got used to being a ghost child and getting gifts and all of a sudden no more gifts.
Because you don't grow up.
No.
You stay that age.
Yeah. That was an interesting story.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that with us. We do greatly appreciate it. Well, that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help us stay on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up to do that on our website at ghostpodcast.com. You can sign up through the website there or through Patreon. $5 a month is all it is. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, and a whole bunch of other extras there at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.